Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We chat to Dr. Dan Dyke, President of Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs. We leave South Africa. We look at what is happening in Washington right now, trying to understand the timing around this visit, because certainly we have seen Trump and Netanyahu meeting for all sorts of reasons. We haven't always known what they're about, and within a few weeks we start to understand what it could have been. Is this all it seems? Is this all about peace in the Middle East? Is it about peace in Gaza, the hostages? Dr. Dan Dyke, good morning. Thank you for joining us once again. Is everything,
good morning to you.
Is everything as it seems to be this trip?
Howard, it's never in the Middle East. It's never as it seems to be, because there are what's called black swan events, big surprises from moment to moment, and no less with the summit in Washington. This summit that we are witnessing now from Sunday to Thursday is probably the most consequential meeting between the Prime Minister of Israel and the President of the United States since the founding of Israel, and it is no less than a mandate for the restructuring of the new regional order in the Middle East.
Wow, that's a big statement.
It's a big statement. It's a big reality. I mean, let's remember that what Israel succeeded to do between June 13th and June 24th was unprecedented in the history of modern warfare, where a country 1/80th the size of the Iranian octopus was able to denude and destroy much of the Iranian nuclear ballistic program, as well as key sites in the regime. Now the question becomes, what happens to the rest of the Middle East? Is there going to be normalization with Lebanon, Syria, and ultimately Saudi Arabia? What's the price in Gaza? If I could give you a headline for these few minutes, it would be a price that Israel has to pay for American participation at Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan. There is a price to pay, and the price is going to be heavy with regard to a requirement for Netanyahu to agree to Trump's vision for ending the war against Hamas in Gaza.
In other words, Netanyahu, to paraphrase it, Netanyahu has gone to negotiate the terms of the Americans for America in retroactively for America's participation in the Iranian 12-day war.
Yes, it's true. And what you mentioned is one element of what I would call the Trump vision for the Middle East. This is Trump's new Middle East. You remember that former Prime Minister Shimon Peres wrote a book called The New Middle East. Mm. Well, that failed. This is the real new Middle East, because it represents a convergence between the way the Arab establishment, headed by Mohammed bin Salman, Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, and Trump and Netanyahu, they all converge on the ultimate vision for what the Middle East could be, which is very much driven by agreement, technology from Israel, and an acceptance of Israel among many of its neighbors in a way that had never been accepted before. But there is a price to pay right now, because there is an inherent collision right now between Netanyahu's security red lines in Gaza and the president's vision for Gaza, which is it is still on the books that he wants to make Gaza the Riviera and voluntary humanitarian relocation by the vast majority of Gazans, which is absolutely possible. But Netanyahu says to the president, Mr. President, we cannot end this war until the Hamas, which is a precursor to Al-Qaeda, which are exactly the same people, which is exactly the same ideology that brought down the World Trade Center and the Pentagon in 2001. These are the people we cannot have living next to us, because they are already planning the next October 7th. Invasion, mass murder, and attack against Israel. Having said that, 90% of the Hamas command structure is dead. So we have a situation in which they still hold 50 hostages, and Hamas's strategy is always to hold hostages, whether dead or alive. So I don't think that we will ever see the complete return of all the hostages. So Netanyahu, as Mr. Security, which he is approaching this entire process from Gaza to Lebanon, to Syria, other possible normalization partners, to Saudi Arabia. Security first. That is Israel's view, particularly after October 7th. It is security and prevention first and normalization second.
In other words, that explains to me why, you know, when I hear about details of this hostage deal, it breaks my heart, because I think it's unlikely that we will ever really see all of the hostages being returned. Maybe we'll see 10 living hostages and a few more, but we're almost condemning some of them to death there, and this really is a bit of an explanation as to why this is the price that has to be paid for a greater regional peace.
I think there's a lot of logic in what you say. Let's just bear in mind one contextual point, Howard. Israel suffered 29 fatalities in this unprecedented massive ballistic missile attack by Iran, the third in 1 year, for 500 ballistic missiles, 500 that were shot at a mini state the size of Maryland in the United States. But the Israeli government and military echelons were prepared to absorb hundreds and hundreds of potential fatalities. So then the question becomes, you know, when you are in an existential war, what is the pain point that you're prepared to accept? So here, Israel has returned the vast majority of hostages. Of 251, we received at about 195, not including the 10 that are expected. However, I think there's a more important point here, and that is the leverage is in the hands of one man. His name is Donald Trump. If Donald Trump tomorrow morning, Howard, says to the Qataris, listen, this is enough is enough. If you don't pressure the Hamas, and they are the Hamas, by the way. Qataris are Hamas, Hamas are Qataris. There's no difference between them. But if you don't return the rest of the hostages and the bodies, you know that Al Udeid Air Base of the United States, it's leaving Doha. If the Al Udeid Air Base of the United States leaves Doha, Doha can basically lower its flag and everyone should go home, because that's one of its raison d'etre, is that it houses and hosts this major American military base in the Middle East. And if America says we're going to move it to Saudi, we're going to move it to the Emirates, believe me, the Qataris will move quickly.
So how does this all...
It's leverage, it's pressure. It's called maximum pressure.
Yep. We do need to... They're signaling me because my show ends at 9. But I just need to ask you one more question. How do you think this ends?
You know, the Middle East has never ended. The Middle East is a region where everything continues, because the sense of time in the Middle East is not what it is in the West. This is called the Long War. And it is a conflict opposite radical Islamists who have a very long sense of history and a long sense of the future. So we can't guess. We're not prophets. We have to keep securing our sovereignty and praying and reaching out to people in our neighborhood in the Middle East that are prepared to reach out to us.
That is where we leave it, Dr. Dan Dyker, as always, giving us a lot to think about. Time for me to love and leave you and get out of studio. It is 9 o'clock. Have a fantastic Tuesday. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Don't be late.